Yasya Yaton Vaya Dithagatas Kartesh Vabigya
Swarat.
Tene Brahma Radaya Adi Kavaye Muhyanti Yatsuraya.
Tene Brahma Radaya Adi Kavaye Muhyanti Yatsuraya.
Tejo Bari Mridam Yatha Vinimayo Yatra Trisargo Mrsha.
Tejo Bari Mridam Yatha Vinimayo Yatra Trisargo Mrsha.
Dhamna Svena Sada Nirashta Kuhakam Satyam Param Timahi.
Dhamna Svena Sada Nirashta Kuhakam Satyam Param Timahi.
Janmad yasya yaton vayad itaratas jarteshva bigya swarat.
Janmad yasya yaton vayad itaratas jarteshva bigya swarat.
Tene brahma hridaya adi kavaye muhyanti yatsurayaha.
Tene brahma hridaya adi kavaye muhyanti yatsurayaha.
Tejo bari mridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo mrsha.
Tejo bari mridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo mrsha.
Dhamna svena sada nirastu kuvakam satyam param timahi.
Dhamna svena sada nirastu kuvakam satyam param timahi. Janmadhyasya yaton mayat itratas chattasveya vikyana swarat.
Janmadhyasya yaton mayat itratas chattasveya vikyana swarat.
Tene brahmaridaya adikave muyanti yatsurayaha.
Tene brahmaridaya adikave muyanti yatsurayaha.
Tejo vari mritam yata vinimayo yatra trisargo mrsha.
Tejo vari mritam yata vinimayo yatra trisargo mrsha.
Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuvakam satyam param dhimahi.
Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuvakam satyam param dhimahi.
Madhyasya yatun vayat itaratas chatvishva vigyak svarat.
Janmadhyasya yatun vayat itaratas
chatvishva vigyak svarat.
Tini brahma hridaya adi kavaye muhyanti yatsurayaha.
Tini brahma hridaya adi kavaye muhyanti yatsurayaha.
Tejo varim mridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo mrsha.
Tejo varim mridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo mrsha.
Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi.
Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Janmadhyasya yatun vayat itaratasya chaste avikya swarat.
Janmadhyasya yatun vayat itaratasya chaste avikya swarat. Tene brahma hridaya adi kavaye muhyanti yatsurayaha.
Tejo vari mridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo mrsha.
Tejo vari mridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo mrsha.
Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuyukam satyam param dhimahi.
Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuyukam satyam param dhimahi.
Janmadhyasya
yaton vayat itaratas chatteshva vigya swarat.
Tene brahma hridaya adi kavaye muhyanti yatsurayaha.
Tene brahmavidaya adi kavaye bhujanti yat surayaha.
Tejo mari vrudam yadha vinimayo yatra krisargo mrusha.
Tejo mari vrudam yadha vinimayo yatra krisargo mrusha.
Vamna svena sadani rastakuhakam satyam paramadhimahi.
Dhamna svena sadani rastakuhakam satyam param dhimahi.
Will I skip the word for word today, or will I?
I think so.
Okay. O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna, because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes, of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire, or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate on him, for he is the absolute truth. We're continuing to read on page 47 at the bottom. The chief engineer of a complicated construction does not personally take part in the construction, but he knows every nook and corner because everything is done under his direction. He knows everything about the construction, both directly and indirectly. Similarly, the personality of Godhead, who is the supreme engineer of this cosmic manifestation, cosmic creation, knows every nook and corner, although affairs are being carried out by demigods. Beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, no one is independent in the material creation. The hand of the Lord is seen everywhere. All material elements, as well as all spiritual sparks, emanate from him only, and whatever is created in this material world is but the interaction of two energies, the material and the spiritual, which emanate from the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. A chemist can manufacture water in the chemical laboratory by mixing hydrogen and oxygen, but in reality the living entity works in the laboratory under the direction of the Supreme Lord, and the materials with which he works are also supplied by the Lord. The Lord knows everything, directly and indirectly, and he is cognizant of all minute details, and he is fully independent. He is compared to a mine of gold, and the cosmic creations, in so many different forms, are compared to objects made from the gold, such as gold rings, necklaces, and so on. Gold ring and the gold necklace are qualitatively one with the gold in the mine, but quantitatively the gold in the mine is different. Therefore, the absolute truth is simultaneously one and different. Nothing is absolutely equal with the absolute truth, but at the same time, nothing is independent of the absolute truth. Om Jnanati Mirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmiritam jena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manovistam sthapitam jena bhutale Svayam rupa kada mahyam tathati shapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Bhutam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vansha Kolpitaruvyascha Kripa Sindhobhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada glosses the Anvayadhritas Jarteshu Abhigya. Krishna is conscious of everything. When we talk about the Absolute Truth is the origin of everything. So we have to decide whether that origin is conscious or not conscious. The scientists will say the origin of everything has no consciousness. It's chemicals only. And the chemicals somehow develop, and at a certain mature stage, consciousness arises. And then things get more sophisticated and more complicated and more developed. But the Bhagavatam says that no, the origin of everything is consciousness. We see that order develops from consciousness. This microphone and its stand have been placed in order because there's conscious direction behind it. Not that the elements have organized themselves into a microphone. So the Bhagavatam says the origin of everything is conscious, that consciousness is the superior energy, and unconsciousness is the inferior energy, non-consciousness. The non-conscious matter is arranged by conscious spirit. It's driven by the presence of spirit. This body is working because of the presence of spirit, consciousness. I tell my hand, come on, scratch my head, and the hand comes and does it. And consciousness is the superior energy. You get in your car is the inferior energy. It's matter. And you're the superior energy, consciousness. So you think, no, right, now I want to go here, now I want to go there. So, consciousness is superior, and therefore consciousness is the origin of everything. The Absolute Truth is conscious. And conscious of everything. We're conscious within some limited area, but the Absolute Truth is conscious everywhere. And we're also conscious directly, indirectly. Some things we perceive directly, some things we get reports of. So Krishna is conscious both ways of everything. He's in touch with everything, directly and at the same time, indirectly. And Swarat, he's independent. Every one of us is dependent. Everything is dependent. The electricity is dependent on the powerhouse. We're all sitting on the floor, so we're dependent on the floor. We're dependent on the air. We're dependent on water. We're dependent on this. We're dependent on that. We're dependent on the government. We're dependent on our parents. We're depending on the trains. We're depending on the internet. We're depending on the grocery store. We're depending on the plants. We're dependent in so many ways. We're depending on our friends. But Krishna's independent. He's not depending on anyone. And he can do as he likes, because we're dependent on the government, dependent on... We have to agree, yes, all right, I'll pay my taxes, all right, I'll drive on the right, all right, I'll do this, I'll do that. All right, I'll pay for the petrol, all right, I'll pay for the electricity. Krishna is independent. He's not dependent on anyone or anything, and he can do as he likes. There's no higher law to which he's answerable. And that's Krishna. Conditioned souls, beginning from Brahma, who engineers the entire universe, down to the insignificant ant, are all creating, but none of them are independent of the Supreme Law, Supreme Lord. The materialist wrongly thinks that there's no creator other than himself, his own self. This is called Maya, or illusion. Because of his poor fund of knowledge, the materialist cannot see beyond the purview of his imperfect senses. And thus he thinks that matter automatically takes its own shape without the aid of a superior intelligence. This is refuted in this sloka by Srila Vyasadeva. Since the complete whole or the absolute truth is the source of everything, nothing can be independent of the body of the absolute truth. Whatever happens to the body quickly becomes known to the embodied. Similarly, the creation is the body of the absolute whole. Therefore, the Absolute knows everything, directly and indirectly, that happens in the creation. The spider knows everything that happens in its web. The spider doesn't have to directly touch everything. As soon as there's some movement in the web, the spider becomes immediately aware of it. But Krishna is aware of everything in the creation, because the creation is all his energy. Yes. Any questions so far? Oh, okay. Yes.
Is Krishna's, like, the expansion of Vishnu depend on?
No. The Vishnu is expanded from Krishna, so Vishnu, you can say, is dependent on Krishna. And Krishna is not dependent on any other form of Godhead. Any other question?
So, can you become independent?
You become independent of one thing and you become dependent on another. You know, a child leaves home and says, I'm going to be independent. Then the child becomes dependent on some other person. Dependent on some charitable person, or dependent on some rogues, or dependent on someone. Who will be independent? Even the, just like the African countries, they declared their independence. So are they independent? They're completely wrapped up in economic dependence on France or Germany or America or England or the World Bank or what have you. How are they independent? No one's independent. Even, can you become, say, no, I won't be dependent on the air anymore, I won't be dependent on water, I'll be independent? Not possible. We can't even digest independently, we require help from material energy. In the Shruti Mantra, it is also stated that the Absolute Whole, or Brahma, is the ultimate source of everything. Everything emanates from him, everything is maintained by him. And at the end, everything enters into him. What is that? Imani Bhutani, Ito Imani Bhutani, Jayante. That is the law of nature. In the Smriti Mantra, the same is confirmed. It is said that the source from which everything emanates at the beginning of Brahma's millennium and the reservoir to which everything ultimately enters is the Absolute Truth, or Brahma. Material scientists take it for granted that the ultimate source of the planetary system is the sun, but they are unable to explain the source of the sun. This is the nature of materialistic investigation. They go only so far. This comes from this. Yeah, all right, but where does that come from? Well, that comes from this. Well, where does that come from? Shut up, kid. But here everything is traced. Herein the ultimate source is explained. According to the Vedic literatures, Brahma, who may be compared to the sun, is not the ultimate creator. It is stated in this sloka that Brahma was taught Vedic knowledge by the personality of Godhead. One may argue that Brahma, being the original living being, could not be inspired because there was no other living being at that time. Herein it is stated that the Supreme Lord inspired the secondary creator, Brahma, in order that Brahma could carry out his creative functions. So the Supreme Intelligence behind all creations is the Absolute Godhead, Sri Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna states that it is he only who superintends the creative energy, Prakriti, which constitutes the totality of matter. Therefore, Sri Vyasadeva does not worship Brahma, but the Supreme Lord, who guides Brahma in his creative activities. In this sloka, the particular words abhigya and swarat are significant. These two words distinguish the Supreme Lord from all other living entities. No other living entity is either abhigya or swarat. That is, no one else is either fully cognizant or fully independent. Even Brahma has to meditate upon the Supreme Lord in order to create. And what to speak of great scientists like Einstein? The brains of such a scientist are certainly not the products of any human being. Scientists cannot manufacture such a brain, and what to speak of foolish atheists who defy the authority of the Lord. Even Mayavadi impersonalists who flatter themselves that they can become one with the Lord are neither abhigya nor swarat. Such impersonalists undergo severe austerities to acquire knowledge to become one with the Lord, but ultimately they become dependent on some rich disciple who supplies them with money to build monasteries and temples. That is practical. I'm meditating, I'm God, I'm one with God, but I'm not independent. I go out and collect donations so that I can build a temple where everyone is God or where I'm God. Yeah. Atheists like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu had to undergo severe austerities, severe penances, before they could flout the authority of the Lord. But ultimately, they were rendered helpless and could not save themselves when the Lord appeared before them as cruel death. This is also the case with the modern atheists who also dare to flout the authority of the Lord. Such atheists will be dealt with similarly, for history repeats itself. Whenever men neglect the authority of the Lord, nature and her laws are there to penalize them. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita in the well-known verse, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya Glani. Whenever there is a decline of dharma, and arise of Adharma, O Arjuna, then I incarnate myself. So further dependence. Even if you want to defy Krishna, you're dependent on Krishna's energy to do that. That the Supreme Lord is all perfect is confirmed in all Shruti mantras. It is said in the Shruti mantras that the all perfect Lord threw a glance over matter and thus created all living beings. The living beings are parts and parcels of the Lord, and he impregnates the vast material creation with seeds of spiritual sparks. And thus the creative energies are set in motion to enact so many wonderful creations. An atheist may argue that God is no more expert than a watchmaker, but of course God is greater because he can create machines in duplicate male and female forms. The male and female forms of different types of machineries go on producing innumerable similar machines without God's further attention. If a man could manufacture such a set of machines that could produce other machines without his attention, then he could approach the intelligence of God. But that is not possible, for each machine has to be handled individually. Therefore, no one can create as well as God. Another name for God is Asamardva, which means that no one is equal to or greater than him. Param Satyam, or the Supreme Truth, is he who has no equal or superior. This is confirmed in the Shruti mantras. It is said that before the creation of the material universe, there existed the Lord only, who is master of everyone. That Lord instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge. That Lord has to be obeyed in all respects. Anyone who wants to get rid of the material entanglement, must surrender unto him. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Oh, very practical, that we create something, but Krishna creates a creation in which everything goes on creating. He's more expert.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, at least several different movies where the computers take over. They create things
Well, if that happens, it'll be further evidence that we're bad creators. Krishna creates a creation in which we're allowed to think that we take over. But he retains control. We're allowed to think that we're controlling everything, that by our science we're able to conquer nature, but actually nature wins every time by Krishna's power. Material nature is so finely engineered that mama maya dratya, nobody can escape from the control of the material energy. One can place oneself deeper and deeper in illusion, but one can't actually control maya. Maya controls us. Unless one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one will certainly be bewildered. When an intelligent man surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna and knows completely that Krishna is the cause of all causes, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, then only can such an intelligent man become a Mahatma or great soul. But such a great soul is rarely seen. Only the Mahatmas can understand that the Supreme Lord is the primeval cause of all causes. He is Parama, or ultimate truth, because all other truths are relative to him. He is omniscient. For him there is no reason. Ma neviye prabodhante maya metam. when one finally comes to the conclusion that Krishna is everything, after many, many births, then he attains perfection. Some Mayavadi scholars argue that Srimad Bhagavatam was not compiled by Sri Vyasadeva, and some of them suggest that the book is a modern creation written by someone named Vopadev. In order to refute such meaningless arguments, Sri Sridhar Swami points out that there is reference to the Bhagavatam in many of the oldest Puranas. This first shloka of the Bhagavatam begins with the Gayatri Mantra. There is reference to this in the Matsya Purana, which is the oldest Purana. In that Purana, it is said, with reference to the Gayatri Mantra in the Bhagavatam, that there are many, many narrations of spiritual instructions beginning with the Gayatri Mantra. And there's the history of Vritrasura. Anyone who makes a gift of this great work on a full moon day attains to the highest perfection of life by returning to Godhead. There is reference to the Bhagavatam in other Puranas also, where it is clearly stated that this work was finished in 12 cantos, which include 18,000 slokas. In the Padma Purana also, there is reference to the Bhagavatam in a conversation between Gotam and Maharaj Ambarish. The king was advised therein to read regularly Srimad Bhagavatam if he desired liberation from material bondage. Under these circumstances, there's no doubt about the authority of the Bhagavatam. Within the past 500 years, many erudite scholars and acharyas, like Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Vallabhacharya, and many other distinguished teachers, even after the time of Lord Chaitanya, made elaborate commentaries on the Bhagavatam. And the serious student would do well to go through these commentaries to better relish the transcendental messages. So Srila Prabhupada is citing evidence given by Sridhar Swami that this Bhagavatam is not a modern creation. It's referred to in various other Puranas. So it has authority. It's not something recently cooked up. And apart from the Puranas, it's been accepted by great acharyas. Sridhar Swami himself and many others. So therefore we have confidence in the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam. Any other questions so far?
I have a question about for him there is no illusion. Mahanidhi Swami, one of his books, he explains that Nanda Maharaj would have magic shows for Krishna, so like every day would have a magic show. So now, I understand this, but I just like to hear, how is it, you know, if it's no illusion, so if there's no illusion, it's not going to be any fun, you know, how does that, I mean, I know it's a completely different, you could just elaborate, how is it not an illusion, and at the same time, seeing these magic tricks, and it's fascinating.
That's his play. He knows everything. But he enjoys being innocent, naive. That's his play also. Just like we used to play when I was a child. We had a meadow across the street, and there was a big snake in the meadow. It was something like a monster. And we would be very much afraid of the big snake. Where sometimes we would threaten one another that there was about the big snake. So actually we knew that it was a wire on which there was those little white insulators?
Yeah.
So it was a little white insulator, it had two holes in it. So something like eyes. So we knew that it was a wire, that it was just nothing fearful. But for our enjoyment, it became a big snake, and we would be afraid to go to the part where the snake was, or we would threaten to send someone into the jaws of the snake, and the other child would be very much, oh no. So that was our enjoyment. Not that we knew, but for the sake of fun, we suspended our knowledge. So Krishna also, he knows everything, but for the sake of enjoyment, he suspends his knowledge and appears to be naive as to how the magic is going on. That's fun. Something else? Hmm?
Mm-hmm. It says that he threw a glance at matter and created all living beings.
Sa ekshita, sa sridjita. By his glance, he does everything. His glance is powerful. For us, maybe our hand is powerful, or you hit somebody and the person goes. But Krishna, his glance is powerful. Even Hiranyakashipu, his glance was powerful. He would raise his eyebrows and the demigods would tremble. He didn't have to say anything. Or a stern father, if he just gives a displeased glance, then the children are all, they all straighten up and become very good. Because just his glance is powerful. So Krishna's glance is unlimitedly powerful to impregnate the material energy. He doesn't have to do anything more than glance. Tasam brahma mahadyonirham bija pradapita. The Lord, to create the material universe, he doesn't depend on Lakshmi. He just glances. And everything is set in motion. The glance is powerful. The glance of the Lord is powerful. Sa aikshita. Oh, his glance carries the power of time and all the creative energies. Just glancing over material energy sets material energy in motion. Is that okay?
Why does he do that? Why does he create everything?
Why does he create everything? To give the chance to the living entities to do their nonsense. The living entities want to be lords of everything. So the Lord gives them a material universe. All right, here, be the lords of everything under the sway of illusion. And at the same time, to give the opportunity to the living beings to get free from illusion, he creates the universe in such a way that people will have the opportunity for spiritual realization. So both purposes. You want your nonsense? All right, here's your nonsense. And at the same time, I know you want your nonsense, but let's see what we can do to reform you. But for these two purposes.
Just on the same point, it says created all living beings, but at that time they were existing even before that.
Created means created them, created their material embodiments. Living beings, there's no creation. Ajayate, mriyate, va, kadacha. But created means created the material bodies of the living beings. Yeah, otherwise there's no creation. Okay. Maya exists?
Yeah, before. Does Maya exist before the creation?
Yeah, Maya exists before the creation, but Maya is inactive. Maya is inactive. Then, by glancing over Maya, Krishna activates Maya, then Maya becomes creative and does everything. Yes?
Because Srimad Bhagavatam says all species are simultaneously existing, but at least the scientists are saying the material earth, you know, certain species are disappearing. Are they going to other planets? What is that?
Yeah, species may disappear in one place and appear in another. That's not very difficult. So many planets, so many different huge cosmic creation. So if it disappears from
Earth,
yeah, if it disappears from the vision of one scientist or one planet of scientists, how much can they see?
I just want to go back to David's question about Maya existing before the creation but inactive. I mean, is Maya is a servant of Krishna, so she was not serving Krishna before. What was she doing?
Waiting for Krishna's glance. Just like an actor is waiting in the wings, and the director glances at him, and then he comes out and becomes active.
But what about Yogamaya? Yogamaya
existed, or? Yogamaya is the spiritual potency of the Lord. She's active in the spiritual world, and that's always going on. Anything else?
I can't quote from scripture, but I heard in the class of one of our senior devotees that actually this glance is personified by Lord Shiva in the glance.
Yes. Rudra said that Rudra carries the glance of the Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically deals with the original and pure sex psychology, adiras, devoid of all mundane inebriety. The whole material creation is moving under the principle of sex life. In modern civilization, sex life is the focal point for all activities. Wherever one turns his face, he sees sex life predominant. Therefore, sex life is not unreal. Its reality is experienced in the spiritual world. The material sex life is but a perverted reflection of the original fact. The original fact is in the absolute truth, and thus the absolute truth cannot be impersonal. It is not possible to be impersonal and contain pure sex life. Consequently, the impersonalist philosophers have given indirect impetus to the abominable mundane sex life because they have overstressed the impersonality of the absolute of the ultimate truth. Consequently, man without information of the actual spiritual form of sex has accepted perverted material sex life as the all in all. There is a distinction between sex life in the diseased material condition and spiritual sex life. This Srimad Bhagavatam will gradually elevate the unbiased reader to the highest perfectional stage of transcendence. It will enable him to transcend the three modes of material activities, fruitive actions, speculative philosophy, and worship of functional deities, as inculcated in Vedic verses. So, Srila Prabhupada rightly points out that sex life is everywhere in the material world. Even the President of the United States is attracted by sex life. Everyone, the demigods. So, the Mayavadis say that this is all illusion. There's no anything. Finally, there's void or there's the impersonal Brahma. But the void and the impersonal Brahma are not very interesting. Sex life is much more interesting. It's much more attractive. Given the choice between some impersonal, vague, non-substance, some gauzy, homogeneous, ultimate reality, and sex life, the conditioned souls will choose sex life practically every time. So But according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and the other acharyas, the prototype of sex life in its pure form is present in the absolute truth. In the pastimes of Krishna, the reality of which mundane sex is a perversion, a perverted reflection, is to be found. So that rather than, therefore Krishna is all attractive. Even the person who's attracted to sex life can become attracted to Krishna, because Krishna's pastimes are the pure version of the perverted thing that we're interested in now. So, indirectly, the Mayavadis give impetus for mundane sex attraction, because they're teaching that the absolute truth is impersonal, the absolute truth is void, or even the religionists who accept the absolute truth as a person. What is the absolute truth doing? He's sitting on a throne, pushing buttons, throwing thunderbolts, damning people to hell, judging. Not very attractive. Or, you know, what's going on in the spiritual world? Well, you kind of hang out in the clouds and play harp all day. It's not very attractive. I'd rather stay here, thank you very much. Their version of spiritual reality is so dull that the dull material world sounds more interesting. Mark Twain said, heaven for piety, hell for society. The hell's more interesting. You know, there's nobody up there in the clouds but a batch of pious old harp players. Hell must at least be interesting. There must be something going on. So the spiritual world is full of varieties. And when we hear about the varieties of the spiritual world, we can lose our attraction for the material world. Raso varja nasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. So the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us information of the loving relationships that are the pure original form of attraction. And by hearing of those things in the mature stage, we lose our attraction for the material reflections, which have no substance. The substance is there, but we're looking for it in the wrong place. Any other questions?
Mm-hmm. This is like just in general, Maharaj.
Hmm?
It's a general question.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord Krishna has appeared like 5,000 years back.
Mm.
And then Lord Chaitanya came 500 back.
Mm.
Why Lord has come so quickly in this?
Quickly?
Yeah.
Because things went downhill quickly. Yada yada hi dharmasya glani. So there's dharmasya glani that Krishna appeared. Some other question? Okay.
I have a question. I can understand that you know Krishna is eternal. He's never created, never destroyed. But I'm having trouble understanding how it's the same for the living entities that they're ever existing. Like there's no creator of
just like the sun and the sunlight. So it's not that the sun exactly creates the sunlight. The sunlight is co-eternal with the sun. Or the light of a fire. It's not that the fire exactly creates light. At first you have a fire and then you have light. As long as there's fire, there's light. As long as there's sun, there's sunshine. As long as there's Krishna, there are living entities. And Krishna is eternally existing, so living entities are eternally existing.
This is a gender question, it's not related to this, but in the spiritual world, if you're a cowboy, can you assume the form of a flower or anything else?
Yeah, you can do whatever you like. There's lots of freedom there.
So you can assume the form of a bird or the
whatever you like.
But then coward boy, is that your
that's
original
your
manifestation?
Yeah, everyone has an original form. But as in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Srila Sanatana Goswami mentions that they can assume for Krishna's pleasure. Anyone can assume any form at any time. Is that okay? All right. Hare Krishna. All the words of Shri Prabhupada. Dhirasta kuhakam. Gracias.